Hi, friends. Welcome to the Scripture Society podcast, where we help women on their journey of knowing and loving Jesus more and more every day. Our hope is that we can help you tell a more beautiful story and grow in your knowledge of the one who wrote it.
Hi, friends.
Hey.
It's Olive and Kylie again.
Again.
For the, what is this, fifth episode?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Wow, five episodes.
Yes. So, Kylie, what are we talking to today?
We're talking about the beauty of Scripture today.
It's only Kylie's favorite thing in the whole world.
Yes, it is. I love it. I'm excited to talk about it. There's so many things we could talk about with this, actually.
I know.
It's kind of exciting.
It is exciting. Okay, so tell me, just to, like, start off with, have you always been a reader? Have you always loved the Bible? Because when we're talking about loving and reading the Bible and, like, the beauty of Scripture, I think it is also important to acknowledge that this is probably one of the most significant ancient texts of all of existence, and that can be intimidating for sure, especially if you are not someone who loves to read or is really interested in literature at all.
Yeah.
So do you want to share a little bit more about, like, how did you care so much? Like, how did you come to care so much about Scripture?
Yeah, there's a lot of factors for me personally. Two of the things that I feel like are just the way that the Lord created me, one of those being that I love to learn. I've always loved school. I'm just like a student. And the other thing being that I just love to read. So, like, if you're somebody who has neither of those things, your experience with the Bible will obviously look different, right? So, but even saying those things, there was, like, a long time of, like, many years of me calling myself, like, a strong believer, but not thinking reading the Bible as essential. Like, I would read the Bible, but maybe not every day. And I thought it was fine that there was, like, some massive gaps in my understanding, which is so interesting to look back on now. But that is so normal. That experience is so normal.
Yeah.
But for me, I mean, I really just think it was the Lord. At one point, I remember exactly where I was. There was one day I was actually house sitting for Olive, which is so funny. But I just remember there was, like, one day that I was like, you know what? I'm going to start taking reading the Bible seriously. That was it. For no reason. Nobody had said anything to me. And that's what makes me truly believe. It was just, like, God, like, giving me that desire. And from that day on, I've missed minimal days of reading the Bible. Which is just, like, crazy to think about. I've just, like, the Lord's just given me a desire to, like, read it consistently. That doesn't mean I was always reading it well. But that coupled with the fact that I started attending, like, a church that, like, loved Scripture. Yeah. They love it. They value it. It shapes their lives. The gospel shapes their lives. And that was huge for me. They started teaching me just what it meant to read the Bible. I started consuming as many resources as I could, learning what I could about the Bible. And I just fell in love with it. The connections, if you could show me a good connection, like Old Testament to New Testament.
Cheat that up.
I eat it up. I just love it. And I know it's not the same for everyone, but that is proof to me that the Bible is what it says it is.
Yeah.
I just, like, it, that appeals to me.
Yeah.
And I love good stories. Like, I really have, like, a heart for that. And so the fact that, like, the Bible is just such a good story, it didn't have to be, you know?
Yeah.
It could have been, like, just the law
and
the epistles, and it would have been, like, God could have worked with that.
And that still would have been beautiful.
But the fact that it's, like, we have so many stories, beautiful stories that, like, are all connected, it's just, like,
it's
just stunning to me. I just love it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's, like, that's what makes it beautiful for me, you know?
I love that.
What about you? You love to read also.
I also love to read. So surprise, surprise, we're both nerds.
Yeah.
I studied English in college. It was really probably one of the only things that I was really, really interested in in school. I also am shaped in the same way that you are in terms of, like, I'm a lifelong learner. I love learning. I get super hyper fixated on, like, random little things, and I love collecting little facts. Like,
yes.
And so I think that it was natural for me to love Scripture. But I will say, for a long time, and if I'm being so for real, like, I am not a very disciplined person naturally. Mm-hmm. I'm very much like your type B friend who's always like minorly chaotic and like a little bit of a hot mess and definitely always running late to everything. And so like working in a habit of any kind is difficult, especially right. Reading the Bible. Even though I loved it, I like had that tension of like loving it but not being able to get myself to make it a habit mm-hmm. All the time. But I think that recently I've started to view kind of like the daily rhythm of reading scripture a little bit differently. And right. it has really become a lot easier for me to make it a habit, which I'll talk about a little bit.
Yes.
In a second. But yeah, I was an English major in high or in college and loved books in high school. But I think that it took me a long time to start seeing scripture as literature.
Right.
Because I think for so long it kind of was like, I saw it as like a discipline.
Yeah.
A devotional.
It's like in its own category.
It's in its own category. Like I needed to, you know, I had to read a couple verses a day or spend 15 minutes doing my little devotional or whatever that like I didn't even realize that it was a huge piece of significant literature that had so many different genres. Right. I didn't even know what the genres were, that had so many different books. I just like missed somehow the very fundamentals of like Bible literacy.
Right.
And I think once I started to understand those things, it unlocked that curiosity. Yeah. It unlocked that passion for scripture. And just like you said, like seeing the threads and the themes that are found all throughout scripture was so energizing to me, honestly.
It really is.
And I think that, you know, not everyone is made that way, but I think that that's a beautiful thing is that we have an entire lifetime, an entire eternity, really, to learn about God. But in our lifetime, there's always more to learn about the Bible. And the idea that there's opportunity for endless learning is just exciting to me. But also, I think part of it is just like growing up. And it's one thing for you to know and understand that what God's word says is true, but it's another thing to experience it.
For sure.
And see in your life, observationally, that the things that God says are true.
Yeah.
And that the Lord works and the proverbs that he wrote. I'm in Proverbs right now, so that's kind of why it's on my mind. But like the proverbs are true. Yeah. If you live that way, the world will reward it, whether you're a Christian or not. Mm-hmm. And like being able to observe those things in your life really takes scripture to another level. And I think that the Holy Spirit does a lot of work in making those realizations into you.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so true. And like, it really like when you use the word unlock, and I feel like that's like the best word for it. But like when that happened for me, all I wanted to do was like, I wanted other people to experience it. And like, I don't consider myself somebody who's like very evangelistic. It's very hard for me. But like this was almost something that was like I could not help but talk about it and talk about it and ask people about it. And like it was just overflowing out of me. And it was just a cool thing, you know, like, and again, not everybody like is going to experience it the way that I have. But I have loved seeing the way other people experience it, too.
Yeah.
That is just like such a cool, like added gift.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I agree. And I think that another big part of me discovering the love of scripture is studying it in community. Mm-hmm. I think that when I started attending the church with you where I saw other people's love for the Bible, it sparked curiosity in me. And I kind of realized like, duh, you're an English major. Like you should be, like this should be the thing that you are obsessed with. And also, of course, seeing how the Bible has shaped all societies across the world is also really interesting to me. And also, like you said, the idea of stories, how every story that humans create, like any Star Wars, any story that like we create and tell is just a piece of the Bible.
Right.
Is just a reflection of the one true story. It's just like a mere shadow to that is also something that's really interesting. And
yeah,
so like,
it is.
There's just so much depth to be applied in terms of like theology, but also in the secular world, you can kind of observe and see how the Bible has actually shaped societies as well.
That's so true.
But I think that you're right. It's like other people's love for the Bible inspired it in me.
That's good. Yeah, it's something that, you know, I feel like when I came across this story in the Bible, it was so interesting to me that I'd never heard of it before.
Oh, yeah.
Which, like,
Oh, yeah.
Crazy that I had never heard of it before.
I think that's a big piece of my story, too, is that I kind of talked about it in a previous episode, but when I was kind of in my season of having a faith crisis, when the Lord was calling me back, I realized that I actually did not know what I thought. I actually did not know what I claimed to believe.
Absolutely.
Literally at all.
No.
I claimed to believe in the Bible, but I had no idea what the Bible said.
Yeah.
Like, none at all.
No. And it is interesting. And, like, you know, not that... You know, by the time you're 18, you can't hear every verse preached on, obviously. But it's like, you know, there are certain things that you would just think would come up. And like, for some people, it does. And that is such a blessing. But like, for me, there are a lot of gaps. And when it was also sweet, though, the way that the Lord helped me stumble upon them on my own.
Yeah.
And one of those is, if you're familiar with it, it's the story of the road to Emmaus in Luke 24. And verse 27, it's kind of like the conclusion of this, but basically after Christ has risen, he comes across two disciples. And basically what verse 27 says, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself.
Mm.
The reason this was so profound to me is when I was consuming all these resources, when I started having this desire, people were saying like, oh, Christ is in the Old Testament and like, you know, you'll see all these connections. I was like, that's great. But the fact that we can see where like Christ did biblical theology, that was so cool to me. The fact that there are two people that existed that had the firsthand experience of Jesus being like, all of these things point to me. Like, they got to have God himself tell them that.
Yeah.
And like, that's just so cool. But the reason I love this story, I already mentioned it, is like, this just shows the Lord's faithfulness, and that's something that is, like, huge to me, and I think one of the ways that we really see the beauty of Scripture is, you know, starting in Genesis 1, you're going to see connections all the way to the end of Revelation, because it's one story.
Yeah.
One story about one God and his people and his plan to redeem his people. And it's just so beautiful to me that, you know, like, there are things that you can see in the covenants, you know, with Moses, with Abraham, Noah, David, the new covenant with Christ, like tracing all these things and how connected they are. It's like, how can you not like believe that and see it to be good? You know, it's just like, that was so compelling for me. And and it's just like every time I come across a new one, it just like reminds me that like I'm never done learning.
Yes.
Absolutely. And that could be discouraging. It could be scary. But I think, like, after a time, it just turns into excitement. And, like, it's just, like, a good work to be done.
Yeah. And I think that a big piece of Bible reading, too, I'm going to do a quick plug for Jen Wilkins, Women of the Word. Mm-hmm. Even if you're not a woman, even if you're a man, you should read it. Because I think that the fact that we both have experienced so many gaps in the Bible, even though we were raised in the church, I think that that might be indicative of a larger conversation about Bible literacy in the church.
Absolutely.
At this day and age. And I think that, you know, it's not unfair to say that there's a Bible literacy crisis. And I think that there's so many Christians who claim to be Christians, but actually have no idea what the Bible says. And that's why when suffering comes, they get disillusioned and they deconstruct because they actually don't know the Word of God. And they just kind of have these ideas about God that are not exactly true. They're close, but they're not exact. And so when they see that playing out in their life, their thought isn't that like, oh, I don't actually know what I believe. It's that God is a liar and I don't know if he's actually real.
Mm.
And I think that if we can take a hold of the beauty of Scripture and ask the Lord to give us the desire and the revelation of how beautiful his word is, then we'll be able to prevent that in the future.
Yeah.
I think so much of deconstruction in 2024 is because a lack of knowledge of the Bible or a bad theology or a bad interpretation of the Bible.
Yeah.
And so I think that's why like this issue is so important. And I think that, you know, if you pray for it, the Lord is kind enough to give it to us. And I think that there is a level of discipline that it takes to create curiosity. Like I think that we live in a world that is all about instant gratification. And sometimes when you're reading the Bible and you're in the law or you're in Leviticus or you're in some of these, like that part of the Bible in a year project, it's not giving you that instant satisfaction. But what Jen Wilkins says all the time that I find so compelling is that like reading the Bible isn't like, you know, getting money, but, or like getting money to spend immediately, but it's like putting a deposit in a savings account. Because one day when you're in a trial, you'll be able to draw on the knowledge that you've been storing up for so long.
Absolutely.
And so I think it also just helps the spiritual discipline of patience and of thinking more long term than short term when it comes to rewarding.
That's good. And I think something that's helpful in this conversation is like, what do we mean? One, when we say scripture, what do we like believe when we say like we're talking about like the doctrine of scripture, the beauty of scripture? Something that's helpful to me that we can put in the link in the show notes is the it's the Chicago Statement on Biblical Inerrancy. And at the beginning of this,
what does biblical inerrancy mean?
It just means that like the Bible is like without fault.
Great.
So what's great about this is they're going to summarize like a lot of like the Christian like traditional beliefs about scripture. And even better, at the beginning, they have just a page that's called a short statement, and they give you five things. Like, here are some five like basics of what we're saying in this whole thing. I'm going to read number two.
Yeah.
It says, Holy Scripture, being God's own word, written by men, prepared and superintended by his Spirit, is of infallible divine authority in all matters upon which it touches. It is to be believed as God's instruction in all that it affirms, obeyed as God's command in all that it requires, embraced as God's pledge in all that it promises. Also talks about the Holy Spirit and its, you know, work in scripture. It talks about how God only speaks truth. You know, it talks about the authority of scripture. But I just think it's important, you know, like when we're talking about scripture, we're talking about like the word of God. We truly believe that scripture is the words of God that he, you know, like put into these holy men that wrote these books, you know, and it's just like, that's what makes it profound.
And honestly, kind of sounds crazy.
It does sound crazy.
Not gonna lie, kind of sounds crazy. But I think that the fact that God chose literature specifically, because he could have given himself to us. I mean, he did in the person of Christ, but he could have given us knowledge of him in any way that he wanted to. But he specifically chose the medium of the written word. And I think that that's something that can't be missed.
Yeah.
And I think that I'm gonna nerd out as an English major really quickly.
Do it.
Okay. I think that one of the reasons why I love books in general is because I believe that it's the closest thing that we can get to being in another person's brain.
Absolutely.
Because when you're reading someone's stream of consciousness and you're reading their words, that is the closest thing that you can get to being in their little stream of consciousness.
Yeah.
And there's a sort of like almost like, it's a weird way to describe it, but like if you're a writer, you kind of get it. Like it almost feels really vulnerable and intimate to like put your thoughts on a page. And not only is it the closest thing that you can get to being in another person's brain, but it also is immortalized forever. Absolutely, and so the fact that like I could read Jane Austen and be put in the brain of a woman who lived, you know, hundreds of years ago, like that's crazy.
Yeah.
And so the fact that God gave us literature, his word, like that is the closest that we can get to actually being with him. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And so like, I don't know, that's one of the reasons why scripture is so beautiful to me, is because I feel like it's so intimate and it's so like close to being a part of God's brain and like his, not brain, but you know what I mean, like
his
consciousness,
who he is.
Like he reveals himself to us in that sort of way, because like when you think about like movies or any other kind of medium, it's always through a lens that is not as like pure or potent as like someone's original idea. It's like a script that's been turned into something, so it's a little it's a step removed from the original idea. So I don't know if that makes sense.
No, that definitely makes sense, and I don't think I've ever thought about that before, but I love that idea.
Okay, I'm glad that that good, because I hope that like this makes sense.
No, it does make sense.
Okay, great.
Yeah, no, that's really good. I just kind of want to, like, I'd be curious to know, like, what are some of your, I'm not saying, like, favorite Bible stories, but, like, what are your, some of your favorite pieces of scripture that kind of point to, like, maybe the beauty of scripture, maybe the beauty of the Lord, or, like, the faithfulness of God, like, whatever it is, because I feel like in order to experience the beauty of scripture, you have to read it, right? So, like, you know, even if it's just, like, kind of giving us a glimpse of, like, one of those things for you.
I think that's a great question. There's so many, but I think probably the first thing that comes to mind is the dignity of women that is given in a society, in an ancient culture, like if we're talking about the Old Testament.
Yeah.
In the Old Testament, in a society where women had no rights, had no mm-hmm. power, had no, without a husband, they were nothing. Like yeah. they were, you know, but the fact that like the Lord created laws to protect them mm-hmm. is so compelling yeah. to me. And like in a society where that was completely unheard of.
Yep.
I think that, you know, in 2024, it's easy to read scripture with the lens of someone who lives in the 21st century.
Absolutely.
And kind of take those things for granted. But I think that, again, like talking about the Bible and literature as being like an immortalized piece of time, like that is culture immortalized as a piece of time. And so if we're not reading it in the right mindset and framework of like, this was not written to me in 2024, this was written to a people group in ancient society, it really creates new depth for me. And so I think specifically reading some of the laws and seeing how maybe they seem like they may be oppressive to women, like some of the purity laws that they had that women had to follow around when they were able to go to the temple around like their monthly cycle. Like when you read it and learn more about what did that mean and what were some of the practices of that day, you see how that actually protects women in that day and age. And so like, while it may seem like it's oppressive to our 21st century Western mindset, in reality, it's God's kindness protecting women in that society because he knew the way that they would be able to thrive in that setting. Mm-hmm. And so I think that, I don't know, that's the first thing that comes to mind. I know that's not like a specific verse or anything.
No, I think that's good.
But I think that like discoveries like that, and like I kind of, it can be easy to like read something in the Bible because a lot of the parts of the Bible, especially in the Old Testament, are just like difficult. And there are difficult passages where you're like, wow, that kind of feels wrong to me. That doesn't really feel like a good God would react that way. And instead of being put off by those things, being more interested and being like, okay, no, like this feels like a loving God wouldn't do this, but I know he is loving. Mm-hmm. So let me try to figure out what this actually means.
Don't just brush it aside.
Don't just brush it aside. In. Like dig in. And I think that those are the moments that I really see scripture becomes even more beautiful and more alive to me is when I'm proven wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good. And one of my things I was actually thinking about is kind of what you were saying. I think one of the places where I really see the beauty of scripture and the beauty of like the faithfulness of God is in Matthew 1.
Yeah.
When we get the genealogy of Christ and we see like a few women who are included.
Yeah. Some of the women who were prostitutes who would have been like banished from society.
Yeah. It's so interesting. Like the choice
Rahab
of women.
And,
And like, so I just like, that's one of the areas where it's like, it didn't have to be included. There are so many places in the Bible where it's like, we didn't maybe have to have that detail, but it's like, God saw it as something that could be like encouraging or like inspiring or pointing to his faithfulness or like beauty. And I don't know. It's just like, I just love that. Like you could read stories about like Tamar or Rahab or Bathsheba and think like, why is this in here? Or like, why did this even, was this even allowed to happen? But then it's like, you get to Matthew 1 and you realize why it happened.
Yes.
Because they were a part of the line that eventually produced Christ.
Yes. Because it's God trying to show us that no matter what we've done, we can be invited into his family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think the same thing about, you know, King Solomon and like in the story there, like all the terrible things that he did. And then when you read the parts of Proverbs that he wrote, he's like, don't do this. Please, dear God, don't do what I did.
Yeah.
And so I think that like being able to connect those things also makes scripture come alive in a new way too.
Yeah. And like when we say these things, please know it takes time.
Yes. Okay. Yes. I think that's so important.
And like, I'll just say like, there are people in my life, friends in my life that like, they see me get excited about scripture and like, they could be turned off by it and think like, I could never do that. But then there are other people.
Or be overwhelmed.
Yes. But then there are other people who are so curious. And that's how I was. And I think that there's like space for both of those types of people and like different way we can encourage them and bring them in. But like, know that we all started somewhere and like we're all on the same journey and you will never arrive. I will never arrive. Yeah. And it's like, it's really just an invitation to like knowing God more.
Yeah.
And like it really just starts somewhere and we all are starting at different places.
And don't expect yourself to know things that you've never heard of before. Yeah. I think that that's something that I am very silly about is sometimes I expect my first attempt at something just to be perfect because, you know, of course.
Why wouldn't it be?
Yeah. but then that's actually really silly because if you've never read the Bible before, if you've never been taught the Bible before, one, I want you to know that it's, you know, probably not entirely your fault because you probably weren't taught it when you probably should have been.
Yeah.
And secondly, I think that you should know that, like, it's an invitation to learn more. Mm-hmm. And exactly what you said is, like, don't feel ashamed about not knowing the things that you think you should know by then. Just know that, like, this is a journey that takes time.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it goes back to the instant gratification thing. Like, you're not going to know the entirety of this ancient book the first time that you sit down to read it. And you never will. There's a piece of that where, like, we can learn and become the, like, even C.S. Lewis, like, one of the greatest Bible scholars of all time, he still didn't know it all.
Yeah.
There are still things that he was learning.
Yeah.
And there's some things that we'll never know until we get to see the face of Jesus one day.
Yeah. And, like, that can be scary for some people, can be exciting for others. And it's just, like, I hope that the way that we have talked about scripture has been, like, inspiring rather than, like, let me beat you over the head with the Bible and,
or
like,
overwhelming.
Shame you for not reading it.
No.
And some piece of advice I've given to a friend recently, she was like, she had the desire to read because she knew she should.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, you know, I find what I'm reading to be boring. Also, I would, like, rather listen to it, whatever it was. And I was like, you know, well, what do you like to read?
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, I mean, I like to read stories, you know, and I was like, try the Old Testament, you know, like, what do you already enjoy reading? Like, is reading already hard for you? Okay.
What
do you like podcasts?
Do you like
listen
podcasts?
To it?
Yeah. Listen to the Bible. Jackie Hill Perry. No one is a better Bible reader than Jackie Hill Perry.
Sure.
And she reads through the entire Bible.
Yeah. And, like, it's just like, give yourself grace on where to start. But hear me say this, start.
Yes.
Like, that is the piece. Like, I will all day long, like, you know, help you realize that, like, you can start now and that there's grace for, like, the time you've missed out on and, like, whatever, but it's like there's also a calling to start.
Absolutely.
And, like, there's not shame for waiting this long, and I'm not going to, like, shame you for not doing it every single day because we live crazy lives.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's like, you know, if you really love the Lord, like, you'll want to spend time with him, whether it's reading your Bible or praying or whatever it is. But, like, all of those times, worshiping, praying, being in community, will get richer because of your time in the Word.
Yes. And I think that there's something to be said that, like, when you're in the Word, the Lord will just bring it up and give you the opportunity to share it. It's crazy. Mm-hmm. Like, I've been in, you know, Hebrews and Proverbs recently, and the amount of times that Proverbs or wisdom or, you know, something that I learned about in Hebrews comes up in my random everyday conversations with people who I never thought would be interested.
Mm-hmm.
It's wild.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that, like, that is a little bit of the reward that God gives us. But I think that you're so right. Like, it's just the question of, like, do you know why you believe what you believe?
Yep.
Do you actually even know what you believe?
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, there is so much grace, but also there is a call that we have to hold intention of that.
Yep. Yeah.
And so, kind of to wrap up the episode, let's get super practical. And Kylie, I would love to know, like, what does your Bible reading habit look like?
Oh, gosh. I wasn't prepared
to
answer
that. And I'll share mine, too, because I think ours look different.
Yeah. Well, I'll say, for any type A people like me out there, you'll probably relate to
this.
But I've gone through some seasons, because when you're type A, you think it should look a certain way,
mm-hmm.
and that's not always the best. So I've gone through different seasons, and in different seasons, different things work for me. So right now, and where I am,
also note, she's in seminary, so a lot of these things she's studying for assignments too.
Right. Yeah. Yes. So what I do when I sit down to read the Bible is I pray and ask the Holy Spirit to teach me, because I know I can't teach myself. Just asking that the Lord would, like, help me behold him in his mm-hmm. glory. And so that's where I start. Then I read it. I'm going through Dane Ortlund's devotion through the Psalms.
Mm-hmm.
I like to start with a devotion. I am very particular with my devotions. I want them to be, like, centered on scripture.
Mm-hmm.
And that one is so good if you're looking for one. And so I start there to kind of, like, get my heart going, if mm-hmm. that makes sense.
Yeah.
Then in this season, I'm really challenging myself on scripture memory. After I, you know, have seen some
it's
people.
It's Ioana coming back.
Yeah.
She's missed it for too long.
I have been, you know, out of the game for like 20 years. So, but I have been memorizing the entire book of James. That sounds insane. But so then I will move on to that. And then after that, right now I am studying, I'm studying Proverbs and I'm also studying 1 Peter. But right now in this season, I use these very simple books. They're called the Knowing the Bible series, mm-hmm, I guess. Yeah. You can look them up on Amazon. They're like $5. They're really small. And the reason these are helpful for me right now is I'm really trying to challenge myself on being a student and not relying on things like commentaries, not relying even on like Bible studies that give me the answer before they ask the question. Mm-hmm. I really want to sit in the text, see what it's saying, and then I want to go like fact check myself. So the reason I really like those studies is because they ask like a few questions and you just answer them, and they're not going to give you the answer, but they're connected to the ESV study Bible, so almost all the questions they ask you could go and find, mm-hmm, the answer. So it's like great, yeah, to like kind of like fact check yourself. But then after all of these questions, they give you like a few sections of like, it'll give you a section on like gospel perspective, whole Bible connections, like theology, like that you're seeing in whatever chapter you studied. So I'm really liking those right now. And then I close with prayer. So that's what I'm doing right now. And it's really working for me, yeah, right now.
Yeah.
But I think something that's really important to note is when I find myself not wanting to do it anymore, mm-hmm, I think about how I can pivot into changing,
yes,
that routine.
I think that's so important. Thank you for sharing. That's super helpful. Yeah.
Sorry if I was like sounded scattered or no. Like, also please don't feel like you have to do as much as I do.
Yeah.
I just like,
she only does this because she loves that. And
yeah.
So mine looks a little different. I'll go ahead and share mine pretty briefly. Something about my personality is that I constantly need change. Like, mm-hmm, I get bored of things really quickly. And when I lose interest, I will just never do it again. And so, like Kylie, I've gone through a lot of different seasons with like Bible reading and making it a habit, lots of struggles into like trying to make it a habit. And recently what I've been doing is, there's a devotional by Dane Ortlund called, mm-hmm, In the Lord I Take Refuge. And so I've been really trying to not wake up and be on my phone, mm-hmm, because that's just bad for you in a lot of ways. And so instead of doing that, I'll just roll over and pick that up. And it's literally just the Psalms.
Mm-hmm.
Just
that's the same one I'm doing.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah.
And so I just read that every morning. Mm-hmm. My eyes, honestly, I'm not even really processing it.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just kind of like waking me up. And then probably about every 2 days, I'm in Proverbs right now. I'm actually reading it with my boyfriend, which has been really fun. And so we'll read a chapter and then I'll make my observations without using a commentary, mm-hmm, just like thoughts, questions, anything like that. And then I'll try to answer my own questions that I ask.
Yeah.
And then sharing that has been so helpful. And so I think that I used to be in a habit of like feeling really ashamed that I would try to be in the Bible like every single day and like do this amount and study this amount and do that every single day. And I realized that that just was kind of sucking the joy out of it for me. And
yeah.
So what I've realized is instead every 2 days having the accountability of sharing my thoughts, mm-hmm, with someone else. Mm-hmm. And then
going
also
deeper.
Like going deeper, because I'm like, okay, I want something interesting to like tell him or show,
yeah,
him or whatever. And then hearing his thoughts has just been really helpful too.
Yeah.
But having the accountability has been really helpful in building the habit. And also, like, instead of feeling like, you know, I need to be in the Bible and do like this great long study every day,
mm-hmm,
or even doing like 15-minute devotionals, what's more fulfilling for me is like going deep and spending an hour on one proverb,
right,
every 2 days.
Yeah.
And so I can carve out, you know, that time every, mm-hmm, 2 days. Every day doesn't feel as feasible, but every 2 days feels more. And
right.
So, like, I think that figuring out what is a feasible and interesting habit for you. And then also on top of that, I have other things that are a little bit less regimented or scheduled.
Mm-hmm.
Like when we're studying something to write, you know, a devotional or record for a podcast,
mm-hmm,
or other books or resources I'm reading, or we're in a few different Bible studies as well.
Yeah.
And so like, you know, I'm also reading 1 Peter and a few other, you know, chapters for the things I'm in. That also helps too. So like, if you're in a Bible study, just make sure that you're keeping up and make sure that you're actually studying Bible. Like,
yeah.
I feel like my best advice for someone who is trying to get into reading the Bible consistently is, like, join a Bible study that actually studies the Bible. Mm-hmm. And also find, which sounds crazy, to be said. But I have been in so many Bible studies where we didn't, where we called it a Bible study, but we didn't actually study the Bible. And you're reading a book. And we're reading a book or something, which is not bad.
It's not bad.
But that's not the same thing as finding a habit of reading scripture.
Yeah.
And then I will also drop a ton of resources in the show notes because we have so many that we're passionate about. But, like, find good curriculum that isn't giving you all the answers. Like, don't just, like, listen to something that's going to or read something that's going to spoon feed you all the answers. Mm-hmm. Like, give yourself the joy of discovery, because I feel like that's another piece that we miss. It's like, when you over devotionalize the Bible, you kind of lose the joy of discovery.
Yeah.
And so I think that that's something that has helped me be more curious and interested in the Bible. But that's kind of what I'm doing right now, but it changes very often.
Yeah, that's good. And, you know, if you're like, okay, you have me convinced, but I don't know where to start, we have, like, a very simple free resource on our website.
Yeah.
It's called How to Read the Bible, and it's a bookmark, and I use it literally every day.
Too.
And
me
it's
too.
Not something we made up. These are, like, things we have, like, adapted to be, like, a simple version from, like, things that people have used for so many years.
Yeah.
So that is a really helpful resource if you just need something small to help you, you know, tackle it every day. Go download it. It's free.
We'll drop some links to some other great podcasts. We'll drop some links to some other great books.
Yeah.
We're going to probably put more resources on our website around this because it's so important to us.
Yes, and we love it. So, yeah, well, thank you guys for joining us. In our next episode, we will be talking about the beauty of truth and morality.
Yeah.
So, kind of a deep one.
Getting kind of spicy.
Yeah. All right. We'll see you there.
Bye. Thanks for joining us for that conversation. We hope you enjoyed it. If you're interested in finding out more, you can follow us on Instagram or head over to our website at thescripturesociety.com.